Okay, we are in Revelation chapter 2, the second church. Now, the first church, remember? First church was good. I mean, there was not a big issue. And in fact, the Lord praised them for their faithfulness, their standing on the truth, and for their doctrinal purity, for their high moral standards. It's all good. Except in the process of standing up for the Lord, standing firm in their faith, they have forgotten their first love. That becomes, you know, this kind of transition is very subtle. It becomes a merit-based religion. It's not based on their love for the Lord. So that's why Jesus called him out. The Spirit of Jesus called him out, says, I have one thing against you, that you have forgotten your first love. You have forgotten your first love. The love is a relationship that God had with his people. We are saved by grace through faith. But that represents a relationship that you have with God, with Jesus Christ. When it becomes doctrinal oriented, become propositional. In other words, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this. We become just like the Old Testament people. Right? They follow the law. So even our faith in Jesus Christ, but the temptations is that eventually, without us knowing it, that we become more and more like the Pharisees. The relationship is gone. Replace it by what you've done. What have you done? How you live your life. I'm not saying that's not important. That's important. But it's not the priority. It's not the priority. Because Jesus said, you forgot your first love. Jesus says, the first thing is what? To love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So that was the problem with the church in Ephesus. Now the second church in this seven church tour is the church in Smyrna. There's nothing really. God did not have many bad things to say, and God did not judge them, but God did tell them, stand firm, keep your faith, because there are things happening in that church that would easily take away their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just read it to you. There, to the church in Smyrna, to the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecutions for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, appropriate these words to us. To our church, and also directly to us. And I pray, Lord Jesus, your words is like a mirror that reflect on who we are before you. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's an age-old questions about suffering. Suffering puzzles many, many philosophers, theologians, and us for generations. Why is there suffering? Why should there be suffering? Particularly, why me? Why innocent people die from natural disasters? Why can't God help to take away the hurricanes, the flood, the earthquake? Why? There are no good answers. Certainly, you're not going to find an answer from this pulpit. On the other hand, maybe we are asking the wrong questions. Maybe we have been asking this question from a man's perspective. Why am I suffering? Why is my brother suffering? Why is these disasters come to humanity? Maybe we won't ever get an answer until we meet the Lord. Maybe even then, when the Lord answers us, we are unwilling to accept the answer from the Lord. Today, the Spirit of the Lord speaks to Smyrna Church. May give us some clue. Maybe it's good enough for now. Maybe it's not. Regarding this question about suffering. So let those who has ear listen to what the Spirit has to say to us. Okay, if you look at this verse 8, the introductions follows a pattern, just like in the church in Ephesus. The Spirit first introduced who God is. And in church in Ephesus, he says that this is the word of him who holds seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lamps. Then we know that this is like the church. He walks around the seven churches. Now here, he said, he introduced God like this. These are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. Verse 8. For the Smyrna church, God tells the church that he is sovereign. He's the first. He's the last. He's the one that has victory over death. What it implies that he is also alive today, watching over the affair of the world. This is my father's world, right? Not my dead father, my living father, right? So, particularly watching over the Smyrna church. You know, this is important. Because of suffering. Because Smyrna church is suffering. Like I said, suffering is hard for humanity to understand. What is happening? Where is God when I needed him most? What have I done to deserve this? These are the questions in the book of Job. Job probed, and God did not give an answer. A lot of people in Job's trying to figure out an answer. You know, and every time when they're trying to give an answer, Job says, I haven't done that. I am blameless before God. Instead, towards the end, if you read the book of Job, towards the end, God sort of kind of called Job to answer a series of questions that he had for Job. And there's a sample of God's interrogations of Job. You know, this is, you know, to us, it says, man, God, you're not giving Job any answer. You know why? Because Job would never accept it. Because that was a bet. The reason Job suffered, because there was a bet between Satan and God. Satan says, you know, that Job worship you and obey you because you're always good to him. Look at his blessings. Now, if you take away all that blessings, then he will curse you. That's what the Job in the first two chapters says. God says, go ahead. Except don't take his life. And that's when everything, all hell broke loose. And Job began to suffer. And then in the interim, all the chapters, all the friends come trying to comfort him, but no one can. And all the friends trying to give him a reason why he suffered, but none apply. And then I guess Job just saying, okay, you know, I don't know how Job feels about suffering, because he is the one that suffers. He did say, I wish I'm dead. Let me die. Let me die. He has lost all hope. And then in the last two chapters, God spoke. All this time, God did not speak at all. Except the first two chapters when he was speaking to Satan. All this time, God did not speak. Except in the last two chapters of Job. This is what God said. Then the Lord answered Job out of storms. He said, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. He's speaking to Job. Job here is, you know, I'm suffering. God called him on the carpet, interrogated him. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who broke off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? Have you the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the shadow of death? Have you comprehend the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. Joseph, that wasn't an answer. That's not an answer. You know, you did not answer me, why am I suffering for all this time? That's not an answer. But I think all of you realize the point is that God wants Job to understand his sovereignty. He controls all, including circumstances that may be adverse to you. He is God. We are creature. Paul says about this. Paul says, which clay pot will say to the potter, why did you create me like that? Right? This is the sovereignty of God. Sometimes we have a hard time to understand for sure, but we have definitely a hard time to receive, to believe, to accept the sovereignty of God. I still don't understand why God hardens Pharaoh's heart so he will not let the people of Israel go. And then God put him and judge him and destroy his nations. Just for the reason I will show my glory to the world? It's hard. It's hard and hard to accept that. understand that. But you know, for people who are suffering, that brings certain comfort. Knowing is that God is in control. God knows, because later on, God says, I know your afflictions. God knows why you're suffering. In fact, God allows it to come to you. You know, that sort of, in people who are suffering, that sort of bring it like a perverse kind of peace to us. You know, I'm suffering. I have boils all over my body. My children die. My wife asked me to curse God. And if I had the sovereignty of God in my heart, in my mind, and by faith believing that, that give certain kind of peace to us. To us. So the point that God making to Job is clear, that I am the creator. I hold the key to life and death. I'm the first and the last. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the one who gives life. I'm the one who ordains events in heaven and on earth. I am. I am. That's the message God gave to Job. And that's the message that God is telling the Smyrna church. This is, I am is in charge. I am is in charge. It is critical that the church at Smyrna understand this. Because they may never understand why. But it is necessary the Smyrna church believe that God in his sovereignty allows it, and if he's still in control, these things doesn't happen randomly. And if he allows it and controlled it, then he has a good purpose for it. That is what God is saying to the Smyrna church by introducing himself. I am the first and the last who died and came to life again. Okay, now what is it like to be a member of that church? I mean, what does God see in the Smyrna church? God sees, and God says, verse 9, I know your afflictions and your poverties. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are synagogue of Satan. Their suffering include being slandered. That means that they have been wrongfully accused and abused. You know, slander is not just words, but carry with it active consequences. It affects one's reputations, trustworthiness, ministry testimonies. It is not just about us who are being slandered, but indirectly affect God's reputations and his word. You can imagine if there are rumors about my personal life, okay? If there's a rumor that says I steal money from the church, and that I have been unfaithful to my wife. This rumor and slander not only destroy my reputations as pastor, but it will also destroy the ministry of the Lord and bring some untold hardship to my family. That's what slander can do. That's what slander can do. And we see that even happening just not too long ago in our church, where slanders were all over the place, on the internet, on WeChat. This is what is happening with the church of Smyrna. People slander the church, make them outcast in the Jewish community, even suspicion between believers. Smyrna church has no friends and shunned by his own people. That is the suffering of the Smyrna church. But God knows. God knows. It says, I know. Verse 9, I know. I know their trial and tribulations. God knows their poverty. God saw it all. It is encouraging to know God knows, right? It is encouraging to know God knows. Whatever you're going through, circumstances, sufferings, or adverse life events in your life, God knows. You know, I have to say something, is that a lot of times the sufferings that we brought it to ourselves, you know, sins, consequences, and suffering, you have to bear your consequences if you sin, right? So it's not something that God says, okay, I know you're suffering because you've been shined by the community because you have committed adultery. No, you brought this to yourself, you know, the sufferings, because of your sin. But in this case, Smyrna church, not because of their sin. Probably because they are Christians. Probably because they are Christians. They believe in the Lord. So let's separate these two. There is a category of a suffering because of the result of your sin. And then there's a category of suffering that you haven't done anything deserve of suffering. And then God says, you are what? You are poverty. He knows his poverty. But then he said, you are rich. They are rich. Maybe, probably not materially rich. They are rich because they are children of God. They have an inheritance that will never disappear or fade away. They are rich because they possess true life that money, power, friendship cannot give you. They are rich. They are truly rich. But then God says what? Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. In other words, there is more suffering coming. Not just the affliction that God saw currently, okay, being slandered by all these people, but you will continue to suffer. There will be suffering coming. In fact, even worse than what you are experiencing now. Because what? He says, devil will put some of you in prison. And some of them, you may even be threatened with death. There's suffering coming. The imprisonment is the work of Satan. But the sovereign Lord only permitted for a short time. He says 10 days, but for a short time. And the reason the Lord permits it, it's because to test their faith. You know, your faith ought to be always be tested. Otherwise, it's not a faith. You know what I mean? I can say I believe this. I can say whatever. But it is when you are facing with consequences, facing with choices, that's when your faith is tested. Especially when you are facing persecution and suffering. I don't know how many of us really have been tested in our faith. I think we haven't really been tested, you know, of our faith when we are suffering or being persecuted. Just a everyday thing, we are being tested of our faith. You know, do I, I hate to say this because I say it all the time. I hate to say it. Your offering is a test of faith. It, offering is a test of faith. Because, you know, everybody needs money. Nobody says, I'm so rich. But can you give out of your poverty like the Macedonian church, Paul commanded them? They give more than they could afford. That's faith. That's faith. So, you know, a lot of time we don't even know if our faith has been tested. But believe me, it's been tested. We just failed the test. We just failed the test. You know, if you know that you're being tested, then you probably will hold on to the Lord. Help me to stand firm. Help me to be consistent. Help me to be insistent on these things. But most of the time, we don't feel that we're being tested because we failed the test. Because we failed the test. But be sure, your faith will always be tested. And in this case, for Smyrna Church, the faith is to stand firm in their confession of Lord Jesus Christ. And even to the point of death. Even to the point of death. You know, this is a New Testament experience. This is not an American, North American 21st century experience. Suffering because of your faith. This is not our experience. In fact, America wants to be a Christian nation. They're friendly towards Christians. But you look at, I'm going to read it to you. This, I just want to let you guys see, this is the New Testament. This is how the Bible is written under severe trial and testing and suffering. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. He's speaking, he's writing to these Christians. In this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perish even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Peter said, this is normal. So your faith may be refined by fires. So don't be surprised, or don't keep asking God, why me? Why me? Why am I such an unlucky person? When these things come to you, you know it's a refining fire to purify your faith. What happened to him who overcome the sufferings? So I didn't ask, you guys want to be a Smyrna church, member of Smyrna church, but what happened to those who overcome? Verse 11, right? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. When the Spirit of the Lord says this, he who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. He's not only saying here, in fact, in every church, towards the end, he says the same thing. You look in chapter 2, when he spoke to the church in Ephesus, in chapter 2, verse 7, he says the same thing. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches. Let him hear. Who has ear? You know, this is equivalent of saying, listen up. This is what the Spirit is saying. Listen up. This is something you need to pay attention to. This is something critical. Let him hear. Let him hear. Smyrna Church knows that what he has experienced is only a matter of physical and material, and it is temporary compared to what is to come. So keep the faith now to receive that which is forever later. What is coming to later? He who overcomes will not hurt at all by the second death. Oh, second death. You know, I was just talking to my wife. You know, for born-again Christian, they born twice and die once. Right? They born twice, die once. For non-Christian, they born once, die twice. And this is the second death. This is the second death. And, you know, you ask, what is second death? That's a good question, because John told us that. John will not leave us hanging. He told us, what is second death? Okay, chapter 20, verse 11 to 15. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The book was open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. For those of you who receive Jesus Christ, who are born again, your name is in the book of life. Everybody else's name is in this big book. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. No exceptions. So your name is, you want your name to be in the book of life. If your name is not there, there's only one result for you. It's the second death. Because that other book that records everything you have done, but none of what you've done measure up to God's standard. Measure up to God's standard. So that was the second death for those. And also chapter 21, verse 5 to 8. This is another description. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He says to me, that's to John, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of water of life. He who overcomes, that same words, will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. I hope that all of us has taken those words to heart. Those words to heart is that we don't want to be part of the second death. Anybody who is in the Smyrna church, who overcomes, who stand firm in their faith, who will not taste the second death, the lake of fire, and forever tormented and suffering. I think for those who overcomes the challenges of both church in Ephesus and the Smyrna church were offered an eternal life with God. For the Ephesus church, church in Ephesus is to eat the fruit of life. Right? We saw that last week. And for this is that you are escaping the second death. You will not taste the second death. Birth church were told of who God is, right? In the very beginning of their warning, both churches take comfort and cautions from God because He knew them, knew their hearts and their circumstances. Both churches were judged spiritually by their faith in the Lord and by their love for the Lord. Finally, both churches were told what they do now. What they do now affect their eternal life in the future. What they do now, that's why he says overcoming these challenges, that affects your eternal future. So let him who has ear pay attention to what the Spirit says to the churches and to us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you're mindful of us and you spoke to the angels of the church and then speak to us and caution us, warn us, encourage us to keep that loving relationship with you, to nurture that loving relationship with you, and to keep the faith. We pray, Lord Jesus, as we go to our various places in the summer and maybe for the future, we pray, Lord Jesus, the word of the Lord continue to resonate in our heart. Let him who has ear listen to what the Spirit has to say. In Jesus' name, amen.